verses 1 to 16, page 1176 in your Bibles. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he has also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended, far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom from the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sue. I thought we might be a little bit down. I had room in the car park to get my car in today, so that's I thought being half-term there wouldn't be so many of us, but good to see those of you who've gathered who haven't gone away for half-term. Let's pray as we turn to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the unity that we share under your word, and Lord, as we pray this morning that you would teach us how you equip us effectively through your word and by your word and in your word. And so, Lord, we pray that you would challenge us and encourage us as we meet to take what you say to us now into our lives, where you call us to be equipped to serve you and to serve one another, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if it would be good if you could have a finger in both those readings. I'm going to flip about a bit, and if you really want to, you can take the cover apart and use that as a bookmark, but please put it back, otherwise they were well put together, these Bibles. But it's a good opportunity, both Exodus 18, which is on page 72, and Ephesians 4, which is on page 1176. And I'm sure Becca and Ben will swap around and find the passages as we need. As you know, we're three quarters of the way, or seven-eighths of the way, through this series we're doing between Christmas and Lent, about God's direction, God's calling, God's equipping, as we're looking at. And next week and the following week, Greg's going to be helping us see the way that God affirms us using these particular materials that the diocese put together, growing ministry together, and particularly equipping. And last week we were thinking about how God equips us, how he gifts us for the gifts and ministries and things he calls us to. And as I said last week, today I'd like us to think about how that fits in with the church. And even though there's not so many of us, we still hear God's word together. And most of the Bible, 99.99999% of the Bible, is directed at us as a people. Yes, we do read the Bible for ourselves. I hope you do that daily. But the Bible is something to be read by all God's people. God speaks to us in a plural way. There's just one or two verses that are very special, that get very personal. And Paul does that sometimes himself. And he just gets so passionate about how much God loves him. And we all know that. And God does speak to us individually. But most of the time, God speaks to us as a people. And his gifts come to us as a people. And we use them
as a people. So the church, in this sense in Ephesians, he's using this word all, one God, and gifts to all, and people to all. This sense of this word all is something again and again he's emphasizing the plural nature of God's people. So that's important to remember as we think about God equipping us. It's not just something to us, individual people, and yes, he does do that, but most of the time it's to us as a group of people. So why does God need to equip us? Well, as you read from this story of Moses and Jethro, his father-in-law, stuff happens. You hear that? That seems to be a thing that whatever goes on in life, however organized and planned we are, stuff happens. I didn't know this week I was going to get worse and worse and feel more and more ill as the week went on. I was a bit rough last Sunday, as you may have noticed, and I thought I must be getting towards the end of it. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday got worse, and in the end I gave up. And I hear I missed a really good evening on Wednesday night, but it was good even though I wasn't there, so that's fine. That's good to be reminded. But stuff does happen. And the emails, and this time of the year, the baptism and wedding bookings came in. And Catherine and I had a baptism morning last week. You know, 11 families came. We're expecting 12. Two didn't turn up. One came that was. And these things, however much you plan and organise. And Kathy and I have both got lots of funerals. I've got two this week and two next week. Various things happen. And this is exactly what's happened to Moses. It's a bit like the news of the NHS at the moment, isn't it? The NHS is all over the news this week, and the pressure is hugely upon them. And it's not just the doctors and nurses that are suffering under the patients. Older folk who are having to wait, the uncertainty of not knowing when they'll be seen, lying on trolleys for hours and hours. No one's criticising the hospitals. No one's criticising the doctors and nurses and the staff. Everyone says what a good job they're doing. But stuff happens and they're overwhelmed. Moses is overwhelmed and overworked. And there's this picture of the people standing around Moses from dawn till dusk. And there's a picture how in that situation we certainly see that Moses needs a bit of equipping. The people need some equipping and God steps in a most unexpected way. Stuff happens, very matters. As it is often talked about, matters. Things come up, don't they? And however planned we are, stuff happens. But God does do something about it. And so often, he sends a person. He doesn't send extra strength to Moses. There's times like that. Do you remember the story when Moses has got to hold his hands up and two young guys have to hold them up? Sometimes God does that and strengthens us. But very often, rather than strengthening us, if anything, he might take us out, which he did to me this week, and that's what I needed. And then he raises up other people from most unexpected places who do things. And the most unexpected person is this Midianite, Jethro, his father-in-law. And if you read about Midianites, I thought, oh, the Midianites don't have a good message. If you Google Midianites, it comes up, you know, the enemies of God's people. They weren't the friends. They intermarried. They were very dodgy. And quite why Moses had married into that is another story. But God uses this Midianite, who's not one of God's people, to come in as probably what we call a facilitator, a management consultant. The first bit of chapter 18, it's all very happy. Jethro, his father-in-law, comes to visit. Wonderful story. And I'm just about to become a father-in-law twice over. Those things happen and you come and visit and everything's fine. And then Jethro sits down with Moses on his working day and sees him working from dawn till dusk. And suddenly Moses, the book of Moses, we're not quite sure who wrote it, but it's called the book of Moses, and it's possibly Moses writing it, stops from calling him Jethro, the father-in-law, just the father-in-law. And the relationship changes, and he has that formal function, he has that facilitation. It can be a very positive thing. The leadership team were away a couple of weeks ago, and Steve and Vicky came and joined us from Whitstable. And Steve and Vicky coming in externally, just looking at us as a group of people, said some really helpful things, said some challenging things, and some encouraging things. Sometimes we need someone else to come in from outside. And I find that very helpful in the Church of England, that when I struggle with something, I know everything isn't down to me, that I have to ask other people around me for permission to do things. And Jethro comes in, the father-in-law says, he says, what you are doing is not good. He doesn't say it's bad. Moses is a good man. He's working hard. There's nothing wrong with what he's doing. But he says, what you're doing is not good. You're wearing yourself out and you're wearing these people out from dawn to dusk. And he brings in a particular sensible responsibility. He actually does affirm the central ministry of Moses, that he's supposed to be teaching the statutes. And Moses says he does that. When he sits down with all the people, he is teaching them about God and using that opportunity to proclaim the greatness of God and teaching about faith in God. And Jethro spots that. Jethro notices that. Jethro sees that actually Moses is gifted in that way, and that's what he should be doing, but not dealing with all the stuff and all the great and the little matters. And of course, the book of Ephesians talks about that variety of ministries that God gives to people. And God does call different people to different things. You see, God doesn't say to Moses, well, I'm now going to give you every gift so that you can do everything. He raises up other people, as Paul talks about those great ministries of apostle, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, prophets, to equip God's people. And that key words, that's why I wanted to use this reading this morning from Ephesians, because that's in the diocesan material that says this is a key chapter that says how are we equipped in this variety of ways and ministries as the whole church, not just as individual people, but God using us all together, those varieties of ways. And Jethro, the father-in-law, seems a bit of a strategist, doesn't it? A bit military, this bit. He says both in verse 21 and 25 of Exodus 18, what you need to do is divide the people into thousands, into hundreds, into fifties, and into tens. Different people have got giftings for different numbers of people. Bishops are very used to overseeing thousands of people. I don't think I could do that. I'm not a great one for mass people. I could never sort of stand up like Billy Graham and do a mass rally. I don't think I'm a person for that. But I do seem to have other things with the area dean responsibilities, hundreds, you know, 827 on our electoral roll now, that sort of thing. You think there are ways in which bigger, and I like working with big numbers of people in that way, not in the multi way. And then, of course, people are called to that leadership of congregations like I am, 50s. That's a good number, a bit smaller than 50 this morning, but sometimes that's about what we are, aren't we? And then that ministry of people who will lead in tens. Again, that's not something I'm particularly good at. I think home groups are vitally important. I've always struggled with doing them myself. It's not something I particularly feel gifted at, but I know we've got people even here this morning who are very gifted at working with small groups and working with tens. And Kathy's already mentioned that's one thing we're going to do in Lent. We always revive our home groups. Sometimes they get a bit tired, don't they? And say, let's get other people involved in small groups. Let's start a... And one of the groups we started last year came out of a Lent group. Growing with God started as a small Lent group. Some of you remember that many years ago. Some people are gifted in working with smaller people. So it's not the person who runs the thousands in it any more important than the person who runs the 50s. But God calls different people in those different ministries. And Jethro recognizes that. The military structure, divide the people into thousands, into hundreds, into fifties and tens. And that's why in our structure in the church, sometimes we do have these bishops and priests and deacons, those different responsibilities that we have. And Moses is called actually to do a wonderful thing. He is called to appoint, or literally the word is Nathan, which is the word gift. And that word in the Hebrew actually is one of the wonderful special things about having a child who we wanted to call Nathan, which is a gift. But gifting is not just something that we receive, but it's also something we give to someone else. You see, the whole thing that Moses receives gifts from God, and then he passes those gifts on. And it's just occurred to me that part of our ministry is not just to receive gifts from God and recognize that, but actually give those. We're not just receivers, but we are givers. People dispute about why Paul suddenly quotes Psalm 68, and he quotes it wrongly. If you look in Ephesians chapter 4, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. And in Psalm 68, it's actually receive gifts from men. And people say, well, why is he misquoting Psalm 68? But giving and receiving is part of gifts, isn't it? At Christmas time, it's rather special, isn't it? It's rather a bit odd in the family. We all give gifts to each other. But that's a right thing that we do, that we receive gifts, we also give them. And Moses is given that ability to gift others. That's literally what the word means. Nathan people, the gift people. appoint them, anoint them for this ministry and service. It's one of the peculiarities in the Church of England. I don't know if you've got it in other places, but this phrase of having the gift. I'm area dean, entirely in the gift of the bishop. The bishop is entirely up to him to ask me to be area dean and ask me not to be. So he can appoint me, and tomorrow he could phone up and say, Tim, I don't want you to do this anymore. And that's entirely in his gift. It's entirely answerable to him. We just had a new Archdeacon of Canterbury, and that's entirely in the gift of the Archbishop of Canterbury. Apparently Justin could lie in his bath and say, I wonder who I'd like to be Archdeacon of Canterbury. Oh, it'll be this person, and it'll just happen. Well, fortunately, we don't do that anymore. There's a bit more consultation, and that's right and proper to do so. But there's a wonderful sense in which gifting is also something you can pass on to someone else. I've always struggled with asking people to do things because I always think, oh, they'll be busy. But it's lovely when you ask someone to do something and their eyes light up and they say, thank you. Because we all like to be asked to do something, don't we? I was just thinking, Jill's very good at getting people to do things. I know this. You know, the strawberry tea this year, they do every year. And I know that actually they're going to be away this year. So you've already got plans with a great team that you've drawn around you to do that. That ability to gift other people to do something. And that's what Moses had to learn. And that's been a particular challenge to me. So do pray for me that I put that into practice. Equipping is also about how we pass that on and how we share that with one another. That we gift one another in different ways of doing things. Maybe you have a responsibility at work where an appointment is entirely in your gift. Use that wisely, because it is a great gift to be able to direct other people and call other people and appoint or gift other people into the ministries that they have. And what's the result? The result is that wonderful word, peace. And it comes in both the readings. Because Moses writes the commentator, because of all this, because Moses listens to Jethro, his father-in-law, and he goes on his way back to his own country, he's sent back, like Steve and Vicky were with us for the day, and they went back to their work in Whitstable. Yes, sometimes God brings people in and brings some wisdom to us, and then they go back and they're away. But because of that, there was peace, which in Hebrews you probably know is that wonderful word shalom, which we'll share in the communion service. Because of what Moses did, because he listened to that wise advice, there was shalom. There was peace. Rather than disorder and the people standing around and not being able to work it out. And something interesting I spotted as well, because of Moses taking that, it sounded bad enough dawn and dusk. But actually, the commentator actually says that once all these other people are sharing the ministry, it's available at any time. And some people are better early in the morning, I'm not, but some people are better later at night. And so they didn't just have to wait for Moses, they could go to their cell group leader or their congregation leader or whatever it was. And suddenly this ministry and availability, God was equipping us 24/7. And he does that through a variety of people. There's peace, there is shalom. And of course that's what Paul talks about in Ephesians as well. Endeavour to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Irene, that's the Greek word. It's lovely. We don't use that word for people very often. I know a lot of older people called Irene. It's a lovely name, isn't it? And it means peace. Shalom, Irene. That's the peace that we give. It's the peace that we'll share later in the service. It's the peace in the words of the blessing that reminds us again and again. If we do what God commands, and he does it through the most surprising people. If we really are truly equipped by God, if we're equipped through and by and among one another, then we will know peace. As you see, God does equip and gift each one of us, but it's often, perhaps mainly, through other people. We sit there, we wonder if God's calling us to something. We need other people to affirm that, don't we? Other people to show us that we're being equipped. And it's sometimes the most surprising people. Some of the best advice I've had over my life has been from people I've not expected. The Jethros, the father-in-laws in our lives. And therefore we use our gifts in ministry not just from God for others, but also we use those gifts and ministries to equip one another. Let's we pray we do that for his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have chosen to work through your people, through us, plural, through your church, and to equip us through and by one another. And Lord, whilst we earnestly desire those gifts, as we were thinking last week, we pray that we would look to one another and see the ways in which you are equipping us and gifting us through and among one another. Help us to hear one another, perhaps the surprising people that you want us to hear a word and a message from. Keep our hearts and minds open to you and equip us, we pray, for the work and ministry and service that you call us to. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Kathy.